Coming up this week on the Course of Life podcast, recapping a much more relaxing week, some golf in paradise where the wind whipped and it came down to a little 70-second hole drama. We'll get into that and some other funny golf headlines, talking Tiger and Rory loving dominoes, plus everything we're tuned into, all the college and NFL headlines to catch you up. And last but not least, we're talking seafood, cereal, pumpkin spice, and a whole lot more when we hashtag always end with food. And this week's guest is Trista Crick from Barstool Sports. Really great personality, fun interview. She does all sorts of content for the company and is also quite the golfer as well. So we get into all that and more. And as always, we're brought to you by our friends at Active Body. Mike, I tell you all the time about Active Body and how stinking easy it is. It's just 5 minutes a day that I put in. It's not a big sacrifice. Easy. And it goes a long way towards making yourself feel, look a little bit better. Promo code COL20 gets you 20% off of the Active 5 device. It's a really easy portable device that allows you to do workouts pretty much anywhere. Indoors, outdoors, any small space, big space. Stretching the correct muscles you need each day to put yourself on the right path. Active 5, like I said, 5 minutes a day. It's that easy. It's that simple. And our promo code is COL for 20% off of the Active 5. Again, that is activebody.com.
Interwebs, and welcome to Course of Life, part of the Morning Read Podcast Network. We are proud to be presented by our friends at Desert Fox Golf and Groove It Golf. I'm Michael, he's Alex. And Alex, like you said, they were down at Putacana for the Corrales Championship.
Nice little
trip down to the Caribbean.
Nice job.
Yeah. It wasn't, 4 years Spanish in high school for nothing.
There it is. Paid off at the right moment. Yeah, very nice vibes in the Dominican Republic. I don't know if I sent you some of the pictures and the video shots, but nice to go from the hazard and the carnage of Wingfoot to just the nice oceanside palm tree views in the DR there in the Dominican Republic. It was a fun week there.
Not that a lot of the guys made the trip south, but a couple did.
Not many. Yeah, and it was a big-time underdog, a guy who has just been nowhere, who's missed a ton of cuts basically heading into this week. Yeah. We've heard before he's won once on the PGA Tour, Hudson Swafford, over 200-1 odds. Oh, I wish I had him this past week. He notched his second PGA Tour win, super clutch par save at the last to get it done by a shot. Really, really gutsy stuff from a guy who has not been in this position in a long time.
Yeah, and your picks still did pretty well, though, right? You got close.
I did okay. I had, you know who I had? It was my best finisher last week. Our dear friend of the podcast, Nate Lashley.
Guest,
won the 2019 Rocket Mortgage and came on our podcast. You can check the archive for that interview a couple days after that win. Sent him a text last night, told him another finish, another great week. Those all add up. Every shot counts. You know that, Mike, with these super seasons and how the FedEx Cup standings work. So a top five early in the rotation here for Nate. That's what you got to do to keep your card. And just those consistent high finishes put you in the right position long term of the season. So he was my best pick this week, top five guy. But again, Hudson Swafford got it done from pretty much out of nowhere. This is a weird field with not a lot of big names playing.
That's true.
But got it done when he needed to.
Like we said last week, typically a alternate event to one of the bigger ones going on. Yes. But this year got to stand on its own. Full FedEx Cup points up for grabs as well. So congrats to Hudson Swafford. Let's talk, though, about some other things that piqued our interest during the course of the week. Let's start across the pond at the Irish Open.
Of course, and our friends in the Euro Tour.
Yeah, we love the Euro Tour. It's just everything we wish the PGA Tour was and never will be. How do you feel about cows on the course?
I love them. They're a fairly quiet spectator. I don't know how loud the moos were getting. I didn't hear them audibly at the Irish Open. But we had some spectators in the form of some animals, in addition to a couple humans too.
Yeah. It was you had looked like a cow farmer right there with his whole herd around him watching the golf from just outside the ropes.
Is that not goals? You know, just sitting there holding your wife's hands, you know, your cows are huddled around you watching some golf, you know, the whole course to yourself. That sounds kind of like life goals, you know, just nice farmland yourself to enjoy the golf.
Not a bad way to live. Yeah. And I mean, those cows aren't going to carry coronavirus. So, you know, hang out
with them.
Right.
That's the safest gallery in the game of golf right now, for sure. So shout out to the cows at the Irish Open. You can follow us on Twitter, because I'm always talking on Twitter about the Irish Open and everything going on the European Tour. It's just a fun morning watch for golf fans. I'm at Course of Life One and you're at MWRINC. But yeah, shout out to the cow farmer at the Irish Open. And John Catlin, I mentioned him a few weeks ago, the American playing over in Europe. He won again, Mike. So that's an American who's got two Euro wins this year. I think we'll see him more on the other side of the pond here in the weeks to come. He'll be getting into a lot more tournaments soon. So John Catlin, remember that name.
I will. You talked about the lively gallery at the Irish Open with all those cows. Let's talk about the gallery at earlier in the week at Tiger's big new reveal of his first public course, which means we need to save up about $500 to play and then pray we can get a tee time.
I know, Big Cedar Lodge out there in Missouri, southwest corner of the state, real country vibes. But you're right, for this being in the absolute middle of nowhere, there was quite a few people out there watching that exhibition match.
I mean, they've got quite a few big names out there. Of course, Tiger, Rory, JT, Rosie, and then, of course, we had Gary Player.
Jack and Gary,
And Jack. So, I mean, this was a pretty impressive group of golfers to have out there and just a massive gallery following them along. And there's two things about Rory that we can talk about during this event.
Yes.
Let's talk about dominoes first.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah. So like I said at the top here, Rory goes on just a completely like uninvited rant. So the beauty of this event is they were all mic'd up, all four of them did the entire match. So you got some true conversational audio between all four of these guys when they're playing, which is just a gem for any golf or sports fan that likes to go behind the scenes. Rory and Justin Thomas are standing on a green, and then all of a sudden, unsolicited, Rory just goes into this rant about how, it sounds a little crazy, but we're on this gigantic dominoes kick, and Justin Thomas just keels over laughing because it was just the most random time to mention this. But Rory is sneaky obsessed with Domino's pizza. He says, quote, when you get on the road and you don't know the go-to place for pizza in town, it's a great fallback option. What were your thoughts on that Domino's take from Rory? It came out of nowhere and it really struck social media off guard.
This complete bullshit.
I know it's
Domino's is crap. I hate Domino's. Domino's.
That is like saying, oh, I don't know a good burger place in town. Let me go to McDonald's.
I'm gonna go to McDonald's. Like, yeah, exactly.
Like, listen, we love a double once in a while. A Domino's pizza at the end of the night, maybe once every couple years is okay. But like for Rory to say that he is regularly going to Domino's pizza when I know the cities that they travel to, Mike.
I know, come on.
In Chicago too, which is one of the pizza havens of the United States. He's in New York, in Connecticut. He has opportunities to see and get the best. He's Rory.
I'm sorry, Rory. You got people. You got people who could find out where the right places to go are. You don't need to go to Domino's.
I know it's tough on the private jet. You may not have great service up there, and it's hard to search Yelp for the right pizza place. But I think you'd have a few minutes to figure this out with you and your handlers. You know what I mean? It really struck me off guard.
Yeah, it was just odd. It was just really odd. And the other thing that really struck me that was odd about Rory during the course of this event was how, if you remember, when golf came back, there was one of the first events Rory's on the green. I forget which event this was. And he like picks his putt out of the cup and he goes one, two, three. He starts counting all the people around the green because he's so upset with how many people seem to be around the green. And here he is playing with Tiger and everybody with the biggest gallery we've seen in golf. What happened, Rory?
That was weird.
The payday just too big for you?
Yeah, he is the COVID cop of the PGA Tour. You're right. Yeah. I was surprised to see how lax they were about the situation. I know Justin Thomas spoke out big time against Hilton Head and that catastrophe and everything that happened there, how it was a mess there. And it was interesting to see the big lack of mass there in the state of Missouri for that exhibition. Again, it was a rather small crowd, but it was a few hundred people all right around the tee box for every tee shot and green that these four guys hit. So an interesting look for sure. It was the biggest gallery I'd seen in 7 months. I think that's why it caught me off guard so much. But nonetheless, it was good to see the guys out there playing in exhibition format and some interesting moments there from Rory. That Domino's take really resonated with everyone on social. For sure.
Yeah, it's just and then of course we got to see everyone tee off to do the closest to the hole on the 19th hole at Big Cedar Lodge. That was really cool too, to see all four of those guys plus Gary and Jack teeing it up as well.
Yeah, it was so Payne's Valley is like the name and the tribute on this course, and so Payne Stewart's son actually got to hit a tee shot on the 19th and the first hole as well too. That was really cool, Mike. 120 yards. The green is about, I don't know, 10, 15 yards wide, completely surrounded by water, 360 degrees with a bunker in front. How many balls does it take us just to land one like on a dry surface there? It might be a few for me.
You know, I've been hitting my pitched wedge really well recently. I've been hitting my irons great just in general. So as long as I have the right line, I'm pretty confident I can get my wedge on the green.
It was about 120. It was a fun little way to end the match, the 19th hole there at Tiger's new place. So great design there. Cool to see that. And we want more of those. I want more of those mic'd up exhibition matches whenever we can fit them in the schedule. So really cool event once again.
Let's look at what's coming up this next weekend. They go from Putacana and they're going to move up to Mississippi.
Oh, yeah.
To the Sanderson Farm Championship. That was my attempt at another Southern accent.
It
was
MISSISIPPI, the Southern gem right there.
You can spell it because it's spelled out for you in our notes. But exactly. That's okay.
one of those kind of afterthought PGA Tour stops again, but not for a previous guest of ours, Mike. You remember the caddy we've had on here, Teo Gomez. He was on the bag last year for Sebastian Munoz, who's going to be back there defending his title. Check the archives again for that interview. He talked all about bringing Sebastian down the stretch and the winning putts here at this venue. So it'll be good to see if he can defend his title there. Shout out to Sebastian and Team Teo as well, too. As for our buddy Tiger Woods, he's not going to play this week. Maybe looking at seeing him at Shadow Creek in Vegas or maybe Sherwood. He's going to have one more prep tournament before the Masters in November. We're not really sure where that is, but it's not going to be this week in Mississippi.
Well, this week in Mississippi. So I got to ask, before we get to your podcast exclusive pick, is Sebastian Munoz, is he in your bubble of guys you're thinking of putting money on? Are you just going to throw a buck down because he got to?
Yeah, I'm going to. He's a favorite. I'm also going to go back to the well with our Corn Ferry guy who we love, Will Zalatoris. The update on him. Remember, he was one of the favorites coming into this field because he had just finished so well at the U.S. Open. Well, look what he did. Top 10 finish at the Corrales. Now puts him into this field. Mike, he may just never return to the Corn Ferry again if he's just finishing the top 10 over and over. He's got about 100 or so more points he needs to get in the next few weeks to solidify temporary membership. So I'm looking at Zalatoris again. I'm going to keep hitting this button until he doesn't finish in the top 10. I'll be looking at those guys and a couple more. Full card will be on Twitter at Course of Life 1. But excited to see the action in Mississippi. And we're rooting for the defense for Sebastian and Teo. Absolutely.
We will keep an eye on them and talk about it next week on the podcast. Now let's turn over to Tuned In to see what we're tuning into outside of the world of sports. And I know you got something rather interesting that you want to ask me about.
A couple. Yes. So first, I'm going to put you on the spot with some trivia. I'm going to really make you dig up in your memory bank right now. I'm going to take you back to 2005, 2006, Quinnipiac University. You lived just a mere few feet away from me, freshman year. And you know that there was one athlete and one female celebrity who I had my walls postered with. Now, that athlete was Tiger Woods, the golfer. But do you remember my longtime female celebrity crushes from Hollywood?
I am blanking on her name at the moment. I can picture her. Oh, man, I'm really annoyed that I'm blanking on her name because I know who she is. She was in the Fantastic Four, though.
She was. That's good enough. I'll give you the answer for that one. It is the lovely Jessica Alba.
There we go.
And she's back on television. She's had three kids now, and she's back on Fox with LA's Finest, co-starring alongside Gabrielle Union, kind of like a woman cop, bad girls type of scene. It's a crime show for sure, and they're badasses, and it's a lot of fun to watch. The plot is all over the place. I'll be very frank with that. There are tons of storylines, but good to see her back on TV. So that was nice. But the other two that I need to get to with you is a question that only we could ask in this crazy year of 2020. Yes. I can't believe I'm going to say this right now. Okay.
Yeah.
Have you heard the new Vin Diesel song?
That, wait, That would suggest that Vin Diesel has done a song before.
Yes. Okay, that's true. All right. Yes, he did have moments where he has sung on camera before, but Vin Diesel...
Wait, when? In what movie? In one of the Fast and Furious movies?
I'm forgetting how long ago this was, but he got up on stage and sang a Rihanna song on YouTube, and people who are listening right now know exactly what I'm talking about. So he's had the moment where he has sung on camera. He's never actually put anything to recording. But Vin Diesel is out with a fire song. It is produced by super producer EDM star Kygo. I know you would absolutely dread this song from start to finish, but it's a certified club banger. It gets the people moving on the dance floor. And I can't believe I'm saying this, but Vin Diesel has created a banger in 2020 for the music world.
I don't know what to think about that right
These
now.
These celebrities with their time on their hands, you know? You get enough time on your hands, you can do whatever you want with the right amount of money, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I will say, though, I do have to bring up, let if you remember, I know you've heard the Macklemore track with Idris Elba.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Which is also, by the way, just a great track.
Big Macklemore fan.
Dance mm-hmm. off, of course. So is he doing an Idris Elba like talking thing, or is he actually singing during this?
It's kind of like it's not like an auto-tune like T-Pain type of deal where they're like completely throwing his voice off. He actually does have a little bit of melody when he sticks in like one octave. He doesn't have much range, but he's got enough to pull it off if it's produced and chopped correctly that he can go line by line and create a half decent song. Listen to it. I know you're going to dislike it, but I just want to see whether you hate it or not. That's really my line with you.
You know what we may have to do? We may have to revisit this later in the episode. So that when as we're taking the break, maybe I'll go listen to it and we'll come back with it.
We're going to do that.
For now, though, let's move on to pop politics, making a strong return because we're recording this on a Monday evening. That means on Tuesday evening, when this episode actually hits your feed, it's debate night number one between Democratic nominee Joe Biden and sitting president and Republican nominee Donald Trump.
This is spectator sport right here. I don't care what side of the aisle you're on, and we're not even getting into what side of the aisle you're on. This is spectator sport. We've been waiting for this for a long time to see what this head-to-head looks like, and it's finally arrived.
My brother's got a drinking game already set up for it.
Ready to go. Man, your brother's way ahead of the curve. I didn't even think that far ahead. What's he doing?
So he's doing shots every time Joe says malarkey or whatever Donald says voter fraud. And so my brother believes that we'll be passed out drunk by the time the opening statements are done.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking through the different odds of what Trump might say. Like Sleepy Joe is a very, very popular bet.
Yeah, for
what
I feel like I don't love those words. I don't think they're going to be popular enough. I feel like Sleepy Joe for Trump is going to be the big one he's going to say. And I feel like Joe's going to say something like the X of the nation is at stake over and over again. You're going to have some sort of phrase like that.
Yeah, we love our Uncle Joe, but he does like to repeat his phrases. So he's going to hit a few lines really hard just to drive him home. I would predict that as well, too. So hopefully, if you haven't done something already for debate one, we got two more after this. So you can plan your drinking game accordingly. Just be careful what words and phrases you pick. You don't want to pick something that like has you out by the halfway point. You want to try and make it through the debate. I mean, that's a theory.
I guess so.
Or do we want to make
it? You do it for me and tell me how it is, and we'll go from there.
Sounds good.
let's get into this week's guest. She's a content creator, blogger, and radio personality, Barstool. We actually had a couple people on from Barstool.
Yeah, we had Young Pay Views from Barstool Outdoors, who you remember.
Yeah.
We did the kind of like Bear Grylls type of Barstool Outdoors series. And then Trista's really cool, Trista Crick, because not only is she a Barstool personality and she does a lot of different content, big time golfer as well, too.
And she's a lefty, right?
Very rare breed. We get into that and a whole lot more with her golf game and everything she's doing at the company, too. Very good conversation.
going to be exciting. But first, before we get into this interview with Trista Crick, I want to let you know that, as usual, it's brought to you by Groovit Golf, makers of the Groovit Golf Brush. It's sold out because it's in such high demand, but you can get on the mailing list so you can be ready once it comes back in stock. This is not your average golf brush. The average brush has you searching for a source of water on the course, if you can even find the brush on the course.
There's still no water on the course, by the way.
Just no water on the course. There's no. I don't even see those club scrubbers anywhere out on the course. They just don't exist anymore. So the Groovit is great for you. It's got a built-in pump that sprays water, a cleaning solution right onto the club face. It allows for a quick and efficient scrub on the course. While the average golf brush is stuck to your bag as well, the Groovit brush's detachable magnets make it easier to use. Plus, the brush comes with a 3-year bristle guarantee. You can wear out the brush head cleaning golf clubs in 3 years, set it back, and Groovit will get you a free replacement. That is incredible reliability. So prepare to be amazed with the consistency and control the clean grooves will give you using your existing golf clubs with the Groovit. You'll get the spin, trajectory, and consistency you're looking for. So head on over to groovitbrush.com. As soon as you get there, you're going to get a little pop-up so you can put in your email so you can get on their mailing list. So as soon as it's back in stock, you are ready. Again, that's groovitbrush.com.
Next up on the tee, joining us from New York City, where she is a blogger, radio host, and content creator for Barstool Sports, and she's quite the golfer as well, too. We're going to get into that. It's Trista Crick joining the Course of Life. Trista, how you doing today?
Oh, I'm fantastic. I'm actually headed to the Willie Colon Classic right now, so you've got me on the way to a golf tournament.
Perfect. So where are they having that tournament for Willie and his charity?
Somewhere in New Jersey, something called Canoe Brook. I've never been there.
Okay, nice.
But, I'm headed to pick up a rental car at the moment and then drive out there. So I think it's supposed to be star-studded. I'm pretty sure.
I would imagine that anything that has to do with Willie Colon is going to be star-studded for sure. He always goes all out with everything he does. Another great Barstool employee.
Here's the fucked up thing about it. Can I cuss?
Yeah, you can.
I don't know. You can patch me out if I can't.
No, you're good.
But he's putting me with all women, which I feel like is not... Like, I just don't like that. I'm not one of those people who want to just get paired up with three random... Maybe they're awesome, but... Typically, in these things, you never know. It could be bad no matter what, but I'm not expecting great golf.
Yeah, because you can hold your own. So we'll get into that in a little bit. So tell me about your just like early memories of golf. I know that you have background playing it for pretty much your entire life, and you even worked at a course, I believe, as well. Well, what are like your first memories of playing golf growing up as a kid?
So, you know, the thing that got me into it is I hated golf until I was probably... 16. I was so adamant against it. But there was a program. I just thought it was so pretentious. And I grew up in a low income area of Portland where golf really wasn't in vogue at all. And so I was playing basketball and hanging out with my friends, and golf just wasn't interesting to me, even though Tiger was just coming on the scene when I was probably like 11 or 12. And I got to see him at my local course do a clinic, and that kind of got me a little bit interested. And then I got hired to work at the golf course for this Evans Scholarship Program, which is a full ride scholarship for caddies. It's a caddy program started out of Illinois. And so I just became sort of around the game, and eventually someone sort of tricked me as a competitor into getting into the game by saying that, you know, it's probably best that you don't play at all because, you know, it takes mental strength.
You just don't really have that.
You're a great athlete, but you probably wouldn't be able to hold your own on the golf course if you hit a bad shot or whatever, you would melt down, which is probably true to a degree even now. But that was what motivated me to play.
Nice. I love that. So that got you going from there. And then you're part of a very rare breed, I have to compliment. Not only are you a lefty golfer, but you're in the 1% of female lefty golfers as well. Are you always a lefty at other sports, or did you just pick up the clubs first as a lefty? How did that happen?
I'm a lefty at everything. So I didn't even know how difficult it was to find lefty clubs.
Yes.
This guy that I caddied for was great, and he got me my first set. And so from there, I just sort of fell in love with the game. But yeah, I mean, I went to a funny story. I went to TaylorMade's headquarters for a fitting. I got asked to go through someone that I I knew actually through caddying again. And so they brought me down and they actually asked me to take photos because I was the only female lefty that they had ever seen.
Yeah.
At that training center.
So, it's a rare breed.
It's a wild mix. Yeah, wild mix.
Definitely. Very cool. I got to ask about a course that I saw you post a lot of pictures on. I know you spent some time in Los Angeles and you've got to practice and play at Riviera, a course where they host a PGA Tour event. What has been the capacity of you playing at Riviera and how beautiful is that layout and maybe any highlights you've had from playing at Riv?
You know, I think it's probably one of the most fun everyday tracks for it being private. You know, private golf courses are usually, you know, so tough, so long. The rough is usually so thick. And Riviera does have thick Kikuyu rough, and it does have some tough holes, obviously. But it's really a fun player's course. I can play that course every day. I probably played there. The extent of me playing there, at one point before they caught on, I was playing maybe twice a week there. I had a member who didn't have a lot of people to play with. And, you know, like you said, unique breed, like female golfer, lefty, very, you know, outspoken out there. So it was fun. And we would all play in these little gambling games or whatever. So before the head pro found, like, you're only supposed to play there as a guest like six times a year.
I think I played
like six times in a month. And I became so cool with the rest of the people who worked there that they said, you know, we'll make an exception for you and we'll let you play twice a month. And, you know, just don't tell anyone about it.
Love it. You got to snake it till you make it and slide your way in, especially in nice courses like that.
For sure. And it wasn't like I could hide and pretend I was someone else's guest. Or I tried that, actually. I tried saying, I think I said my name was Amy Abrams. And they were like, no, we know everybody knows you when you're here. Like, everybody, like, you're very easily seen. So I think I'm probably, you know, the youngest woman by 40 years or something. So
definitely. Yeah, that is a potentially kind of real enough fake name, though. Nice job on Amy Abrams. I salute you for that, for sure. And then to kind of tie it full circle now, the cool thing that you've gotten able to do since you've been hired at Barstool is you've been able to bring your golf into content as well. Tell everyone kind of a little bit about the Barstool Classic and the stuff that you've gotten to be at. It's a very cool tournament circuit that Riggs and the team there have kind of put on and kind of what that's done for you, maybe getting out in front of golfers and the public as well.
You know, I think that the Barstool Classic is like maybe one of the best public events for golf I've ever been to, because usually you'll either get something that's a complete mess where it's just like disorganized and you can't, bathrooms are, you know, everything's just slipshod and it's rowdy and fun, but nothing works. And, or on the other side, it's very stuck up and stiff and organized. This has got, like, everything is to the T. Every single bit has been thought of, from where the food is to all the turnstiles and the beverage cart person coming around with anything that you could dream of for free, and the breakfast and the lunch and all the prizes and your gift bag. Everything's done top notch, but then they still have, you know, these drunk putting contests that happen at the end of the round or these long drives. So I have to admit, like, Riggs and the team have done a phenomenal job. And so I'm super pumped that I was able to go at all. I went to the one in Boston and I played with Dave Portnoy's mom and dad.
Yes.
And that was a blast. And then I went to the one in Colorado as well, just as talent, and got to meet everyone and hit some shots. Played with Rudy and Marty Mush and Dana, if anybody knows who any of these people are. So I hope to go to more events. I think that there's some whispers about a Bannon and Dunes trip next year, so I will definitely be going to that.
That's your backyard for sure. Love that place.
That's the backyard.
Got to hear about 18 holes with the Portnoys. So Dave Portnoy is the founder of Barstool, for those who don't already know, and his parents and cousins, his whole family's in on the Barstool content game at this point. You're with them on the radio as well too. But I got to hear about what 18 holes was like with cousin Mike and cousin Murray and cousin Linda out there.
So, like, cousin Linda actually takes the game very seriously.
She does.
Like,
nice.
We were not even in the tournament. When we were in the tournament, we couldn't win anything. And she was making me putt them all out. like two footers. Like, no, that's not good.
No gimmies. Wow.
No gimmies. I was like looking at her like, what? Are you serious? And Mike, on the other hand, he whiffed on one shot, maybe three times, just hit ground and ball was just right there.
Oh dear.
So he got pretty frustrated. He's a good sport about it though. I think he knew that it was good for the brand to be out there, but Linda took it very seriously. Murray took it very seriously. And Mike ended up just like hitting the ball off the drive and going, picking up the ball, and then maybe hitting some putts by like hole 10. So it was really fun. It was very nerve wracking though, because that group was obviously, highly sought after in terms of where the cameras were.
Oh yes.
And so they had probably 3-4 cameras on you at all times, real cameras and phones. And I hit a great drive on one and had probably 90 yards into the green, and the camera came right behind me, and I got so nervous that I like scolded. I just came up and it was just like, yep, that's what happens when the cameras are right there. So
yeah.
it was a blast all in all.
Bright lights is tricky for us amateur golfers. I feel you in that moment there.
It's so true. I mean, it's so true. Like, that just shows you that I'm not built for that. That person that told me I was mentally weak, that person was right.
Love it. Again, it's Trista Crick, Trista_Crick on Instagram and Twitter. Let's get into everything you're doing at Barstool. We got to start right from the top, though, because you had a very interesting path about a year ago that got you to Barstool Sports. Fired and hired in 24 hours. Tell everyone a little bit about what that wild cycle was like for you getting the new job.
I think it was really throwing me into the deep end of what it's like to be at the company. Obviously I was fired because I went on the radio show, but after that, and Dave offered me the job and said, it's going to be a wild ride. I'm going to tweet this out and you're going to hear from thousands and thousands. It's just going to be, turn your notifications off kind of thing. And I did. I've never turned them back on, actually. And so, I mean, I think I was hired on a Thursday or a Friday, and I was hired on Thursday and started that next Monday. And so I had to, find a place to live and figure out out of my lease a lot of logistical things that were not easy. But yeah, it's been a very, very wild ride, and definitely a different type of company. But it's a blast.
Yeah, Dave Portnoy doesn't mess around with his decisions. So when he knows what he wants, he makes the decision quickly, and then you move quickly into the role and got a lot of content going too. So let's first talk a little bit about the cousins who I mentioned you played golf with. If I had told you about a year or two ago that you were going to have a national radio show which would feature you and a couple of old Jewish men talking about their problems, what do you think you'd say to me?
How are we getting there?
Yeah, right. What's that experience like being on the radio with them regularly? I love listening because it's such a funny like dichotomy between the Barstool crowd and the cousins. What do you love most about associating with them on the radio?
Yeah, I think it feels kind of like when I used to caddy, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
There's like 70-year-old men. You're on their bag. They've got lots of problems that they're going to tell you about. They love it when you rib them and give them shit and call them out on their, bad logic and, have jokes and let them be funny. So that's kind of the approach that I take. And we hit it off right away. We hit it off probably one of my first days when Cousin Mike called in to Barstool Radio when I was on the show with Dave. And from then on, it's been kind of peas and carrots. So, I love it. It doesn't frustrate me like I think it does some of the other radio hosts. It kind of just feels like it's supposed to be this way. The chaos. It's like it's one of the only shows like it of its kind,
So, it's one of those things where it throws you for a curveball when you hear them on the radio and then you listen for 5 or 10 minutes. And you're like, but I'm actually really entertained by this conversation, as aimless as it may be. It's the wonder of the cousins.
It's very aimless. It doesn't feel like work at all. It just feels like you're actually checking in. But they do send links and links and links and links all week long, probably 75 links, 80 links to your inbox.
I can only imagine what that communication is like off air with the cousins. And then a couple other things I want to get to. I got to talk about your basketball background because I know you've been playing for a while. You got a nice jumper as well, too. Talk to me about Let Her Shoot, that concept, and kind of what inspired the name for that content, and kind of take everyone behind the scenes of what that brand means to you.
So I think that the way that I started Let Her Shoot was I was in Washington, D.C., and I was playing with a bunch of guys in the gym. And there was this one super annoying guy who, Sheldon, the kind of guy with that wears goggles on the golf course.
He would be named Sheldon, too.
Yeah, and you would say, let her shoot. Leave her open. Let her shoot. Let that girl shoot. And I took that as sort of a personal challenge that, you know, when you tell someone to let her shoot, that means you don't respect that person's game whatsoever. And so every time I would hit shots, open or contested, I would start cooking them. And every time I did, I would say, let her shoot. Let that girl shoot. And it just became this long running joke with me and the rest of the crew. And I was like, you know, that's kind of an interesting concept that people are underrated and overlooked, and everybody's got their let her shoot or let him shoot moment or life. So overcoming those things and talking about those things with people on the basketball court kind of became like this is a fun thing to do. So yeah, that's kind of how it ended up happening. But then COVID had other plans.
Yeah, definitely. So hopefully we can get back to that sooner rather than later once everything clears up. One other thing I want to touch on content-wise that you do really well is you kind of help explain Barstool to a lot of people. You came in as an outsider and you learn a lot about the company and famous slogans through kind of the history of Barstool pieces that you do. Terms like the pirate dog or stay hot rocket. These are things that mean absolutely nothing to a lot of people, but you help explain them. Doing these interviews with everyone and learning about the background of the company, what do you think that's helped you learn as you kind of get a year into this role?
You know, I think the biggest thing that it has helped me learn is really just one, the dynamics between everyone, who was there in which moments, you know, obviously the way that Dave thinks, and how, you know, for example, with Cheese Boy, the grilled cheese company that he had a feud with.
Yes.
And you get to ask him like, hey, what are those types of moments where it becomes from like a minor annoyance with someone to like, I'm never going to let you live this down. I'm going to end you. And so you actually get those answers that kind of help you to, you know, navigate this place too. So, you know, a couple of his henchmen that have been around from the very beginning, they give you insights not only into the history of the company, but you know, elements and moments that you would have no idea about before, but also like cautionary tales. So it's been really, really fun because I had no real insight into Barstool past, say, Pardon My Take and the pizza reviews. So it's been, yeah, it's been really cool to tell those stories for old stories and, you know, new people to the company and new people, new fans. So yeah, I'm happy. I'm really happy that became one of the first things that I started.
Definitely. And I appreciate the all too serious investigative journalist tone that you take when you're trying to uncover this information.
That was kind of the goal with like a mockumentary.
Yes, it's perfect. It comes off great. And then the other thing, kind of interview styling, just for my sake as well too, I want to ask about 3 minute trysts. First of all, another great name for content you do. Well, what are kind of keys for you to do really quick? Those are 3 minute interviews you're doing with celebrities. What are keys to like succinct interviews like that? And how do you treat those conversations versus, you know, a normal, you know, full format interview?
You know, I really treat them like I would like to, I want to get a chance to know these people and their soul to a degree, as weird as that sounds. So I do a ton of research. I look at tweets from many, many years ago. I look at their Instagram. I mean, I do a total deep dive so that I can find something that's going to make them comfortable and something that's going to make them laugh right away. And then hopefully find something interesting, a story or a moment that the viewer hasn't heard before from them, or just humanize them and make them shine, you know, make that person the most them that a viewer can see. That's kind of the goal. So, yeah, there's been some great guests and hopefully more to come.
I like that. Again, it's Trista_Crick on Instagram and Twitter. Let's get into some quick hits before we wrap up, too. I know that you're a huge Dallas Cowboys fan. We're airing this after their Week 3 matchup. They had a heroic win in Week 2. Shout out to the CDs shirts that you have on sale at the Barstool Sports store. Well, what's kind of your general outlook for this Cowboys team? We're wondering when Dak and Zeke and them are going to get over the hump and win some big games potentially in January. What do you think is in store for the Cowboys this fall?
You know, I think I was very down on them until the win against Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And now that they have that grit and now that they have that toughness that they've shown that they can overcome the insurmountable, you know, I'm back on the bandwagon. I think it's like Super Bowl. That's what I think is the goal that's actually attainable. So I was thinking 8-8 prior to that Atlanta game. So, yeah, that changed everything.
Isn't it great when Atlanta just blows a massive lead? It's a great feeling.
It is. It is.
Very cool. Good luck to the Cowboys. I'll be watching from Texas here as well. And then our final question we love to ask our guests on the podcast. I know you're a big golfer, and I know you can probably get after it at the 19th hole after the 18 are done, whether it goes good or bad. I got to know, what's like your go-to pick after a round of golf in terms of like food and drink in the clubhouse?
How good are we talking that this clubhouse is?
I'm thinking like Riviera.
Oh man. So I like, I would get like soft shell crab when I was at Riviera, or I would get like a steak salad.
Wow. That's one of the nicer answers I've heard before.
They have really good food. And then I would get like a seltzer water, like a big glass Pellegrino, and maybe like a green juice. They did spinach, cucumber, ginger, lime. So I would have that with my lunch as well. It was bougie.
Yeah, that's a next level clubhouse answer there. I appreciate it though.
Yeah. I mean, that's, and if they don't have stuff like that, then I'm probably not eating there.
Yeah, there you go. It is what it is. Trista Crick, Barstool Sports. Again, looking forward to all your content and more times from the golf course as well. And hit them well today as well.
That interview with Trista Crick is thanks to our friends at Desert Fox Golf, the makers of the Phone Caddy. It's a one-of-a-kind phone holder for golfers designed to mount right onto the golf cart. The Phone Caddy works seamlessly with really kind of any phone model at all, and it Velcros onto the cart in seconds. You can keep your yardage and scoring apps at your fingertips, change music, answer calls and texts, and more, all with the Phone Caddy. It's the most functional way to keep your phone safe and ready on the course at all times. And not only is it great for you, it's great for all your friends and golf buddies, because did you know that it's already like October? It's really October.
We're here. And new color, too. They got blue out as well, too. Oh, so they're adding to the repertoire.
I'm a big fan of the orange, kind of their classic orange.
Works well for the fall, doesn't it?
You know, yeah, it does. And now's the time to be thinking about getting this for the holidays. We're 3 months away from Christmas, less than that. It's time to get your stocking stuffers for your golf buddy, so you're ready to go to get out there on the course and take your next golf trip in 2021 when COVID is maybe not as bad. We'll see. But you can save 20% off your purchase of the Phone Caddy with promo code COURSEOFLIFE. They got a whole bunch of colors. Like we said, they got blue in stock now, and you can make it your own. Again, you can get your Phone Caddy today with the promo code COURSEOFLIFE for 20% off at DesertFoxGolf.com. Again, that's DesertFoxGolf.com, promo code COURSEOFLIFE. Go get your Phone Caddy today. And we're back. Great interview there with Trista. Stone crab on the 19th hole.
Yeah, that caught you a little off guard, did it not?
And steak salad. And I mean, wow. We're going full five-course white tablecloth meal here.
This is what it's like to play Riviera twice a month, I guess, when you live in LA. I mean, like, must be nice, right? Wow. Yeah. I ask that question all the time, and I wasn't even thinking on that level. I thought maybe the nicest answer we'd get is like a steak and baked potato or something. We're eating stone crab at Riviera, Mike. We clearly, like, we think we've been to, like, some
nice... Having a glass of champagne with this, too?
Yeah, we haven't even, like, hit the tip of the iceberg on some beautiful courses in 19th hole. So that was a great answer from her and a great conversation with Trista. Again, check out her content on Barstool Sports. She's doing a lot of great stuff over there and excited to see more golf content from her as well.
Yeah, and if you like interviews like this, plus all the other stuff we talk about, and we really kind of run the gamut on what we talk about,
yes.
Do give us a rating on your podcast app. Give us those 5 stars. Leave a comment. Let us know what you think. And make sure to hit that subscribe button and share with your friends. Let them know that we're pretty awesome. We'd like to toot our own horn. We're
just once a week. You know, we're not a huge commitment in your life. Yeah. You get time for us. Yeah,
why not?
Cheers.
What else you got to do? What? And you can save yourself time by knowing that during the break, I went out and listened to Vin Diesel.
Yes.
And this song was utter crap.
Good. Okay. Everything is right in the world. I'm glad you hate that because you should. Yes. And I should love that. That's kind of the way things are on this podcast. So that makes complete sense. Yeah, there's a little bit of, I re-listened to it. There's a little bit more T-Pain auto-tune than I originally remember.
Yeah.
He sounds a little nasally, like you mentioned too, but
it sounded weird.
I'm ready for Vin Diesel single number 2. So I'll put that up on Instagram and you guys can vote and decide if that is a banger or just trash.
It's trash. speaking of not trash.
Nope.
Is your rebound. Your rebound in college football week 4 after your atrocious week 3 at 5-3. You rebounded at 7-3 this week. And as a welcoming to you and rebounding comes the SEC, the Big Ten, and the Pac-12.
Yeah, seriously. Everyone's come. The whole family's coming back. I think the Big Ten and the Pac-12 were like, all right, I guess if everyone else is playing football, we'll just have to do a season. They're really kind of dragging their feet in, but nonetheless, we're getting all the conferences back. The SEC had their first weekend this past weekend. A lot of electricity. The one thing I am excited about, a lot of unpredictability. Some of these top teams really stumbled out of the gates. LSU losing, Oklahoma losing. This could be all over the map in terms of playoff conversation. So if you got them crazy last year, it'll get even weirder this year.
I mean, the biggest thing here, right, is that these college teams really haven't had the full camp. They haven't had the full, like, junk games to really warm up to get into the season so they can really get everything moving on all cylinders here. So now you're just expecting them to get up and go and play. So it's good. This could be a rough season. That said, if college football isn't rigged for the SEC to be in the national championship game, then I don't know what is. So
I know they're gonna have to do some work now. While it's up to Alabama, Georgia slid by. Could be Bama and Georgia again. But yeah, we'll be following the college picks. Check out my card at Course of Life 1. I promised 5-3 on last week's podcast. I went above and beyond and delivered 7-3. I know I'm picking somewhere in the vicinity of 10 games, so you'll have to follow along on Twitter later this week for my cards Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, so we can win some more money across the board.
Let's move over to the National Football League, where your New England Patriots and Cam Fashion Boy Newton got to play host to the Las Vegas Raiders.
Yes, that sounds funny, doesn't it?
It does.
I'm still not as funny
as the Washington football team, but still pretty funny.
Yeah, and when you look and you click in the TV guide in cable when you're watching, it just says NFL football. Football team at Eagles or football team versus Giants. I was like, God, this is just such a mess.
Oh, I mean, that's Washington for you.
Yeah,
that's the NFC East for in general. We'll get to that in a second. How did it feel to see Cam and your Pats win again?
It's good. And you know, John Gruden, we're going back to the Tuck Rule 2001. Quick flashback there. John Gruden is just cursed in Foxborough, Massachusetts forever. It'll never work for him against the Patriots, no matter what he does. Raiders got off to a good start, but Cam and the Patriots rolled. 2-touchdown victory, 2-1. The real test is obviously going to be for them this Sunday. Cam and the Patriots go to Kansas City. Now, this is kind of like a scheduled loss, in my opinion. I'm hedging my bets on 10-6 this year. This is going to be a tough one this weekend, but a nice performance for the Pats to get to 2-1.
Former Patriot Tom Brady. That still feels weird to say. And the Tampa Bay Bucks went to Denver. And Brady rebounded with a win.
Yeah, 28-10. Win ugly, but they're 2-1 too. So that debate continues as to whether it was Tom or whether it was Bill. Who was the mastermind behind the whole Patriots dynasty the last 20 years? We're slowly answering that week by week. Brady had a good first half, lackluster second, but both those teams sitting at 2-1 on the Tom versus Cam watching. Let's get to it, Mike. Let's talk about your G-men.
Season's over. Season was over last week. I don't care anymore. Season's over. It's just 36-9 against the 49ers at home. Ugh.
Four fumbles. Ugh. No Jimmy G, by the way. This is Nick Mullins. This is not even Jimmy G playing at the Giants here. Not good, Mike. 0-3.
Season's over.
Loss. New York Post joke that the Jets and the Giants had two horrible performances. Good thing no one was there to see either one of them. Right?
That's true. I don't think anyone would be going out to a Giants game right now, even if the tickets were available. So
yeah. So I mean, I don't know how much longer room we'll talk about the Giants, but 0-3, unless they do something crazy with Daniel Jones at the helm, or maybe somebody else from the clouds. Who knows? But
Who knows? Let's also talk about the NFL levying some fines.
Oh, for what? For Mass you're talking about.
Masks, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, they are not messing around, are they? Did you see the dollar figures on this? Let everyone know how much they got fined?
It was a lot. It was what, like 25,000 for the coaches, right? And then the teams were fined 100. Like 100,000. I thought the teams were 100 and the coaches were 25, right?
Six figures going out to, I think, three different teams it was. I know Pete Carroll was on that list and a couple other coaches. I love this. The NFL is just not messing around. And I understand the idea. Everyone's going like, what are you talking about? All the players aren't wearing masks. Why do the coach have to wear them? I'm like, listen, even if you want to argue that, it's just the freaking optics of the coaches wearing the mask at the sideline, just to make it look correct in this world. And they're not doing that. And they got hit with a hard fine. I appreciate the NFL with just a hard ass stance. You got to do what you got to do. And they're not afraid to dole out the fines. That's for sure.
Yeah,
they do it for crazy hits, so they might as well do it for people breaking the rules, right?
They might as well, I guess. Speaking of rules and being thrown out the window, let's talk about the MLB postseason, because we have bracket.
Good segue.
In baseball. Crazy times here. So we're gonna enter the wild card series, best of three, at home team ballpark. For all 16 teams here that are playing. And then they're going to go into the divisional series, best of five at neutral sites. And then we're going to go into the championship series, best of seven at neutral sites. And then we'll go to the World Series, best of seven neutral site.
This is going to be interesting. 16 teams making the baseball playoffs. A lot of people are rolling their eyes right now hearing that. But we're going to move these series along pretty quick. I'm seeing back-to-back-to-backs for these first rounds matchups, you know, one versus eight teams on each side. Yeah. The things that stick out to me are obviously you're going to be watching the Yankees, obviously.
Yep.
They have the Indians in the first round. I expect them to move on from that. I'm watching the Astros. Now that we're back in a playoff atmosphere, we now have the whole country again to watch and root against the Astros. Let's not forget that they cheated by stealing signs blatantly, and we've been throwing things at them all season now. So now we're going to get to see that in a national spotlight. I feel like there's going to be a lot of people rooting for the Twins. And the weird part that I noticed about this whole thing, Mike, is we're going to get some baseball games on ABC. I feel like I haven't seen that in a long time. This is an
ESPN. I feel like I was a little kid back then. Yeah.
Yeah. It's been a while. ABC baseball.
I am certainly rooting for the Twins, because if it gets to be Twins and Yankees in the ALCS, that's really good for the Yankees. So
yes, it is.
And the Twins historically are horrible against the Yankees.
Old prediction on the other side. If you make it through the AL, I have the Milwaukee Brewers. I'm going to place this bet too. You can follow me on Twitter. Milwaukee Brewers are going to win their first round best out of three series against the Dodgers. You watch.
That's wide open at that point.
If you're listening to this before Wednesday night and the series starts, get that bet down now. I've been following the Brewers a lot this year via my fantasy baseball team. It's their time to rake, and they're going to beat the Dodgers. You heard it here first.
You know, what's crazy too right now, because of the shortened season, this is all about momentum right now. It usually is anyway in the postseason. This is really all momentum because it's such a short season.
It is. And shout out to the NBA bubble. My Celtics just got eliminated by a Miami Heat team that was on nobody's radar at all. They were the five seed in the East, and they just rolled through the Bucks and rolled through the Celtics to get to the finals against the Lakers. So you're right. Like, don't look at the seeding and like take it as fact. It's just the team that gets the hottest right now. It doesn't matter how they played in this shortened season. If you get the bats hot at the right time and you got two or three starters, it doesn't take a full rotation in the postseason. Just two or three guys going, you can make a run through the World Series.
We will keep an eye on all of this and let you know what happens next week. Hopefully I'm not crying on the floor with seasons over for the Giants and the Yankees.
Yeah. It's okay. Red Sox already fired their manager, so we're already looking for a new one. That's where we're at. Have no fear.
Things are great in Boston for the Red Sox right now. This is great. Let's hashtag always endless food.
Absolutely. It's brought to you by Be Free CBD, promo code COL30. It's the CBD I use before every one of my backyard golf workouts. Gets me going and focused for the workday. Again, Be Free CBD, promo code COL30. We got a few different topics this week. There's a lot of food on the podcast. Where do you want to start? Are we going seafood? Are we going pumpkin spice? Are we going cereal? What do you want to do?
Let's save pumpkin spice. Let's just tease everyone with that. Let's start with cereal. So we all remember the classic Will Ferrell Christmas movie Elf, right?
Yep. It'll be coming back onto TBS and TNT in just a few weeks, if my memory serves me correctly. That's true.
You remember the breakfast scene and the cereal that he eats?
Yes. Okay. I did.
How would you like to have that in a box in your pantry?
I don't know. What's the actual official ingredient listing of what's in this cereal?
I haven't gone that far. I don't know. But the question is, which one of us is going to be the one to have to try this on the podcast?
I'm looking at this photo right now. It does not look as appetizing as the Dunkin' Donuts cereal. That's for sure.
No.
I've already gone through a couple bowls of that. But...
It's going to be one of us will try it as soon as we find it in the store. One of us will try it. Maybe we'll try to try it both together. Maybe
might have to get back to your ASMR game, Mike. Might be a live light test for you again.
Ugh. Oh, man.
You sound so excited about it.
So excited about that one.
Nice. Let's get into the seafood like I mentioned. I'm flying to Marco Island, Florida. My favorite.
You're getting on a plane?
My first plane ride. We bought new masks, Mike. I got gloves that are touchscreen resistant. I'm going to be wearing sunglasses. I promise I'm not suspicious, okay? I'm not suspicious.
It's just COVID.
You can search me. It's just COVID. I'm just taking all the necessary precautions and going above and beyond because that's the way I am with all this stuff. I'm taking my first flight, getting to Florida, and I'll be getting a lot of seafood there. It's going to be fried shrimp plates, lobster rolls, crab and cheese dip for the win for the next week. So I'll be podcasting from paradise on next week's episode. So
I'm just disappointed you didn't tell me you were coming this weekend because I'm off this weekend, man. I'm just disappointed.
Oh, yeah, man. Jeez. Oh, God. And they got the.
It's only, 10 hours for me.
Yeah, just a quick little drive there down the road.
It's a quick drive down.
Being long as hell. It just really
is. It really is.
I'm heading next week, so I'll be eating a lot of seafood for sure. And I'll be showing it off all on Instagram. COL Podcast, and mine is Course of Life Alex on IG. Let's get to it. We teased it for a while. It's time to get into a little pumpkin spice debate because you sent something to me over the course of the weekend that really had me tilted. And I am the biggest pumpkin spice stan there is. But
you are, but you remember a couple of weeks ago, we actually talked about this product not being for dinner, but being for breakfast.
Yes, correct.
Yeah.
You're referencing
remember that.
Cheese.
Yes.
For breakfast.
And now up in Canada, they're making a limited run of a pumpkin spice mac and cheese.
Oh, wait. So this is Canada only? I wanted to
from what I understand.
I wanted to see if I can get my hands on this. I'm going to have to do a little deep dive and see if I can get some ship my way. Because this has me really conflicted. Again, like I mentioned, I am the number one pumpkin spice supporter in the world. I will go for pumpkin spice pretty much anything. But we're going to have to ask ourselves when we start talking about pumpkin spice mac and cheese, where's the line? Where's the line?
The line was about 20 miles back that way. If you want my honest answer.
I'm trying to think of pumpkin and cheese just first off, just those two.
The color is pretty similar.
It is a similar shade, that's for sure. The look wouldn't be that bad in theory, eating pumpkin spice mac and cheese.
Here's the thing. So pumpkin spice. So the really pumpkin spice is about the spice, right? So it's about your cinnamon, clove, your nutmeg, right? That's pumpkin spice, right? So first of all, in a classic macaroni and cheese, in a classic bechamel, you're probably going to put a little bit of nutmeg in there.
Oh, look at you.
Wow. Not a lot, but just a little, just a couple grates of that nutmeg. As for the other spices, you wouldn't see that anywhere near mac and cheese with a 20-foot pole.
I like your attempt at giving us a little bit of a culture take there on how it could work. So there's a world where it could work. Might have to add some old flavors of your own. God, I wish I could get my hands on this. If anyone knows how I can, or they got a link for me to get this in the U.S.,
yeah, drop us a line.
I'll get a box, and I will absolutely try this.
If you do pumpkin mac and cheese, I'll go ahead and do the Elf cereal so you don't have to.
Yeah, that's our new motto for hashtag always end with food. I think, actually, let me not make this definite. I think we'll try anything. That's our little clause in there. I think we'll try anything. I think. This could be my line. If you have the pumpkin mac and cheese hookup, feel free to hit us up on social media. Again, weird, hashtag always end with food, but we wouldn't have it any other way. It was a great podcast, Mike. We'll see you again next week. For Michael and Alex, everyone have a good week.